Good morning, Tabernacles. Brethren, I have a question for you. Do you remember when you first realized that someday you would have to die? I distinctly remember that occasion for myself. I must have been around 8, maybe 9 years old. It was a summer night. My mom and my aunt had gone out nightclubbing. I was looking to stay awake. My brother and I were looking to stay awake to know mom got home safely, along with taking in weird theater, which did not come until midnight. I was watching a very late night horror movie on our black and white television that I probably should not have been watching, especially at that age. My brother had already fallen asleep. He didn't make it to midnight. That movie was the 1945 version of the picture of Dorian Gray. The story of a young man that would give up anything, including any sense of his morals, to remain the youthful young man he sees in a portrait his friend has painted. I will not go into further detail, but he does ultimately die. It struck me that night under the covers, my brother sleeping next to me, that I was not going to live forever. I was not going to live forever. I remember shedding tears, not at the fate of the young man in the movie, but at my fate. I would die, and those that I loved would also die. You know, at that age, I had been to a funeral or two, but it never really hit me. It never really hit me that I too would die and that all those that I love would die. I did grow up in a Catholic household, but I never bought into their doctrine on life after death, eternity in heaven, going to heaven or hell, or in a short penance that you can buy yourself out of in purgatory. A stopover before you might go into heaven or hell. That was their version of immortality. Brethren, we too, we want to live forever. You know, as a child, you never think it'll end. We have now come to the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which to most of us pictures the end of the millennial age. We also know there is another age to come, pictured in a separate appointment, separate feast, the eighth day, the last great day. Brethren, we look through a glass darkly. We think we know a lot. Put 1,000 believers in a room, and you will likely not come up with more than 1 or 2 that would come into total agreement on what the scriptures reveal to us. You know what they say about opinions. But we do need to search and study those scriptures, seeking to prove all things through them. Some say, well, speculation. You know, in these 7 days, we will have feasted on the Word of God, keeping our appointment with Him. These 7 days picture our Lord Jesus Christ along with His first fruit, the called, the chosen, the faithful, ruling over the earth, Satan dethroned, bound, and removed for 1,000 years. That's Revelation 21 to 23. Brethren, if we are in that millennial age and we have come to this seventh day, we have met our predestination. I like the way that Ronald Dart put it, as I expressed to some of the men the other day. You know, Ronald Dart, I believe his allegory went, you have won a ticket You have won a ticket for a trip to Los Angeles, and he's coming from Texas, Ron Dart. You have won a ticket to Disneyland in Los Angeles. Okay? On that ticket, it says Los Angeles. Okay, you get on the train. You get on that train, and the train's chugging along, and you decide to get off at Williams, Arizona. You've always wanted to see the Grand Canyon. You decide, I'm getting off here at Williams. In the meantime, while you're looking at the Grand Canyon, the train has started up and has left. It's on its way to Los Angeles, and you're not on that train. Brethren, if we are among those in that description, first fruit, the called, the chosen, and faithful, we have attained immortality. That 1,000 years of our existence as spiritual beings, not even a speck on eternity. Not even a speck. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, Prince of the kings of the earth, King of kings, that has washed us from our sins with his blood. I'm going to read Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go into thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that can find it, that do find it. Our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, that has led us to the way. He has led us to the way, to the straight and narrow gate. He's watched over us, guided us, directed us, put his arms around us, treated us like his sheep. We are his sheep. You know, we responded to the Father's invitation. You were called by the Father. You were called by the Father to be among the sheep that belong to Jesus. And he which began that work in us, God the Father, was faithful. He was faithful to complete it. He was faithful to complete it. We have entered to the door, and we are one with them. We are one with them. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We look through a glass darkly. Revelation 1:6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Father and the Shepherd have accomplished this. Unto you, his servants, unto you it has been given. It has been given. Brethren, that millennial age, it started with that first resurrection, our resurrection, hopefully, and ends with that, with the second. Still another phase in God's plan to bring many into the family of Elohim. He is a merciful God that desires not to lose even one of those he loves. He loves us so much. His creation, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. Elohim, the Father, the Son, the first fruit, desire all men to be saved. We will be Elohim. We will be in the family of Elohim by the time that seventh day of the millennium comes around and entering into it. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Elohim, the Father, the Son, the first fruit, desire that all men must be saved. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. You know, and some of the sermons we have heard this week have touched on that. Have touched on that very well. You know, our biggest opportunity, those of us that are married, are loving our spouse as ourselves. Working with our spouse, having patience with them, loving them. My wife has often thrown in my face, What is it that you've learned in those scriptures and in going to church service? What is it that you learned? I've had conversations with some in the Church of God that I have determined they really don't love people. They really don't love people. They hope to do their work, whatever God has called them to do in the millennium. They're hoping it's working with animals or maybe taking care of the ranches and farms out there, taking care of anything but working with people. You know, assignment to some other duty. I've even had some tell me, I can't stand people. I can't stand them. I can't stand them. Some, I've heard some who focus, their focus is on that first resurrection, the resurrection of the first fruit, which they believe applies to them. Okay, they're not too concerned with the salvation, that second harvest. They're not concerned with the eighth day. That's of no concern to them. Their concern is becoming one, being one of the first fruit. And I've heard them say, we don't have to get into that. We don't have to get into that. All we have to concern ourselves with is getting to that first resurrection. Let's focus on that. Let our focus be on that. Are we not to love our neighbors ourselves? You know, we must move in this age to being of service to others. God so loved the world. You know, the caregivers, those of us that have had the opportunity to be caregivers, okay, there's no greater love than to give up your own life for another. And the caregivers among us, you know, we experience that. And we're giving up our lives for others in doing so. You know, in this age, we must move to being of service to others. The house of God, called to the Father, to Jesus Christ, dead and alive, have had and are given the opportunity to join Jesus in the family of God. Elohim, to be one with them. The first of many fruit, the first fruit. It's a special calling. And some receive the calling and some they don't put the emphasis that they should on the fact that they're in that calling. They've been called to be first fruit. They've been given the opportunity. They've been given the opportunity, and they're poo-pooing it away. It's like, unto you it has been given to accept or reject Jesus and the Father as Lord. You know, judgment begins at the house of God. We're being sifted right now. Brethren, we are still being harvested up to our death. Up to our death. You know, Paul's scripture to Timothy, he continues to run that race, believing that he has not attained. He has not attained. Despite all his work, all his good work, and all he's put forth, he has not attained. He has not attained yet. And he runs in fear of that. He runs the race with all his might. We are still being harvested up to our death. We are given that option to live or die. Trust and obey. Let's read it again, Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Revelation 20:4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Reigned over who? Judgment over who? I suspect not many on the earth. Not many on the earth are going to survive the many wars, the famine, the tribulation, the heavenly signs, and the day of the Lord. Most of humanity will be removed. There will be a remnant, but most of humanity will be removed. The armies of the world destroyed before them by beings from on high. A planet in total and utter disarray. It's going to be very ugly. We see the remains of Gaza on our screens continuously, and we're going to see them a lot today. It'd probably be worse than that. It's going to be very ugly. The beginning of Christ's reign will not be pretty as he comes down with his saints to a world that has been devastated. Unlike the rebuilding of the earth after the flood, that flood, it cleansed the earth. It cleansed the earth of all that man had created at that time. This devastation and the remnant of the people, they're not washed away. They're not washed away. The world will have to be cleaned up and rebuilt according to the rulership, the direction of Jesus and his saints, the first fruit. There will be much work to do, tremendous amounts of work to do. You know, we've been called to be kings and priests, but not to be served, but to serve. We're going to be put to work. The first thing that has to be established is that what will the law henceforth be under the King of Kings? What are the rules under the King of Kings? The law that applies to the house of God today. Those rules apply to us today. Without the law, we don't know what sin is. Do we? So many of the young people out there today, they have never heard the word of God. They have never received, many of them have not received any direction at all from their parents. Many of the kids being born into the world today, they're born and their parents turn them over to someone else to raise or let them just go out there rudderless without no direction, with no nothing. Those kids just formulate their own thoughts, their own ideas. The internet's available and their friends are available. Many do not have a clue what is right or wrong. They don't have a clue what is right or wrong. And yes, there are many children brought up in a Christian home, in a Christian home. Okay? Many of our children have been raised in the knowledge of the house of God, in the knowledge of this plan. But for most of them, it goes over their head. They don't understand it. Their ears are stopped up, or they maybe have not been called at this time. They have not been called at this time. I remember in the past, in my drinking and drugging days, okay, I had learned these truths, and I would stand up there drinking a beer and doing whatever I was doing and trying to evangelize my buddies in the crowd. Okay? They had no interest. They had no interest, and they could not hear. Although I did hear of one man that mentioned to my nephew, "Oh, you're so and so's nephew. Does he still preach Armstrong? Does he still read the Plain Truth? Does he still do all those things?" That was retained in his memory. This man was working with a nephew. Maybe it was 20 to 24 years ago, and he still remembered. The seed had been planted. Revelation 14:6. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people," the leftovers, "saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Those people in the millennium, the rules are going to be spelled out to them right from the get-go, right from the beginning. They will hear the rules. They will hear the law. And that law will be adhered to. Or punishment will follow. That remnant that's left on earth and the generations that will follow them will be taught the way of God through us and our Lord Jesus Christ. As the books have been opened to us, so it will be for them through us, His tabernacles. That brings to mind Acts 8:27. Philip, instructed by the Lord to meet the Ethiopian on the road. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And the Ethiopian responded, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Brethren, I'm so very grateful for the men that have put their work, some of them their life work, into sermons, into writings, into song, that I might understand what I read. Some of you in this room today. Thank you. Thank you very much. The Sabbaths of the Lord, they will continue to be kept, still providing a blueprint to get to eternal life and membership in the family of Elohim. Zechariah 14. We'll read 16 through 19. 14, 16 through 19. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We have obeyed. Some of those people in that millennium, they will not obey. They will not obey. John 7:37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Revelation 22:17 states, "Whosoever will, take of the water freely." It is their time. It is their time for salvation. It is their time for salvation. It's their opportunity to accept Jesus and the Father as their Lord, as their lords and kings, or reject them. Judgment has then begun for those in the millennia and throughout the millennia up to this last day of the millennia. The wheat and the tares will be allowed to grow together as they are in this age. The last time I made this statement, I could see people in their seats going, "But I'll make it now." There are wheat and tares in this room today, growing alongside one another. Wheat and tares. Hebrews 9:27. "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Those in the millennium will die too. Call it speculation if you will, and that's your call. Isaiah 65:20. "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor no man, O man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years. But the sinner 100 years old, shall be accursed." There will be great health in that millennium. Great health. The child of God and the sinner living and dying together in a physical life. Wheat and tares growing together in a physical life. There will be no marriage or procreation in the eighth day, the coming second resurrection. Christ in Mark 12:24. "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given into marriage." People being born and dying through the millennium. How many generations in 1,000 years? How many generations in 1,000 years? Being judged just as we are today. Yes, brethren, there will still be sin and sinners in the millennium. The wheat and the tares growing together, then harvested for safekeeping in the Lord's garner, or for burning later. Just as the church is today. Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let's turn back to Matthew 3:12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There was an older woman, maybe 12 years ago, that I used to attend with us, and she was always referring to her husband when I was getting very old, and she knew that she was not going to be able to take care of him. And she would always bring up a place of safety. Not Petra, but a place of safety. She knew that when her husband would die and when she would die, she believed they would go to a place of safety, the grave, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. You know, the wheat is being saved in the garner, being saved in the barn. The jewels, we are precious jewels to our Lord Jesus and to our Father. Precious jewels taken out of the earth. We've been cleaned up a little bit, or the dirt knocked off of us, polished up, shaped, formed. And we are not what, when we were baptized, we are not the same person that we were when we got baptized. Can you say that honestly? I'm not that same person. Okay? I certainly am not. We're not that person. Hopefully we're submitting to the polishing, to the dressing up. And at our death, the jewels are gathered up into his treasury. Look at that barn, look at that garner as his treasury. That he's putting the angels are gathering up his jewels into his treasury. More than one day of salvation, more than one harvest, more than one resurrection. You know, I've heard this from members in the church. They say, But what you say? Those in the millennium will know the Lord and his way. They will know the Lord and his way. The first fruit among them, instructing them. This is the way, walk you in it. Isaiah 30:21. Certainly once past, those initial years, maybe many years of refurbishing the earth, a time of peace, prosperity, good health, long healthy lives, justice, not the rule of any of mankind's creation, not anything that's going to come from their imagination, but under the rule of our Lord Jesus. We'll be living under his law. Peace and mercy firmly established. You know, many today are rejoicing with the peace that's been possibly achieved in Israel. Okay? But I think we're of the belief that true peace will not arrive till Jesus Christ comes to this earth. There will be no true peace. His law, peace and mercy, firmly established. Living waters covering the earth. All will know the Lord in that millennium. Everybody's going to know the Lord. Certainly by that last generation, all will be converted. Those in that age, the millennium, right? In this current age, only those called of God the Father can receive His Holy Spirit. Unto you it is given to accept or reject. Those in the millennium will not be able to claim ignorance. We, I'm sure we have many family, many people that we know that, they can't absorb the truth. They have no notion to even attempt it. They will not be able to claim ignorance, those in the millennium. They will not even have Satan to fall back on as an excuse. Satan made me do it. Judgment began at the house of God. It continues for those in the millennium up to its expiration. Revelation 20, verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 1. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, that he should not deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Satan loosed upon that last generation of the millennium, the expiration of the 1,000 years, just prior to the second resurrection. But why would Satan be brought back for a little while? And as I mentioned, much of what I've learned has come out from the men in this room. Please turn to Revelation 20. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan loosed, he'll be able to deceive and gather a number of rebels, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He will gather those that are susceptible to deception. Man is at enmity with God. In the millennium, man will still have little difficulty with God. It will still be men that have enmity to God. We do not require Satan to sin. We can sin on our own. The prideful, the selfish, the self-centered, those still on the fence, those still not convinced the way of the Lord is best. The pretenders that they never truly bought in, they were along for the ride. They've come along for the ride, but they really never bought in. Those that did not want it enough. They did not want it enough. And then those that know the way. They know the way, and the waters shall cover the earth. They just flat out reject our King. Yes, I know the way. I'm not going there. No one tells me what to do. Selfishness and self-centeredness, they're always, if you truly think about it, selfishness and self-centeredness, they're always at the root of our troubles. Just as our Lord gave Adam and Eve the freedom to choose, those of the age of Noah prior to the flood Israel coming out of Egypt, and so many more through the ages, and we ourselves. Some in the millennium will reject the prophets, their teachers, and the Son of God, refusing to circumcise their hearts, refusing to take in the bread of life, their only hope of glory, their only hope of glory. The people of that last generation will be sifted by Satan as we are today. Judgment began at the house of God, having knowledge of the way and the opportunity to choose life, eternal life. That last generation will be cleansed of Satan and the rebels as the second resurrection is at the door. Ezekiel 28:18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Call it speculation. Satan finally burned to ashes. Finally burned to ashes. What Elohim has created, he can destroy. There's no further mention of Satan after he is cast in the lake of fire in Revelation 20:10. There's no further mention of Satan. Living waters will cover the earth, and the knowledge of the Lord will be worldwide in that millennium. But you know that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. Man is at enmity with God. No one tells me what to think or do. Brethren, accept the invitation or reject it. Choose life. Choose life in this present age. Trust and obey. It's your choice. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Eternal life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, eternal life. Trust and obey. Brethren, we all want to live forever, don't we?